We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rod, listen to me. I guarantee a win. I guarantee a win.
If, gracias.
If muchas they don't gracias. Do it, I'll do the show Monday with no clothes on. I'm not lying. I will remove every strip of my clothes, right? Every threat. I will leave my sneakers out because I don't want to get athlete's foot. But otherwise, I'll be naked.
That's the mindset. There it is, Angelo, this morning. There is no doubt there has become a sense of security around here this week. Now, the question is that a false sense of security or one that is aptly secure based on what Dallas is and what the Eagles are? Look, 215-592-9494, where do you stand on it? I will admit, I know this might be dumb, I do feel a sense of security with the Eagles against Dallas. Not that they were playing, you know, like Kansas City, but they're not. They're playing Dallas. And, yeah, I think the Eagles are going to win. And, yeah, I feel pretty confident saying it. And, yeah, I feel like an idiot saying it. So where do we stand on this? 215-592-9494. Is it a false sense of security? Let's kick it off with Gary. Gary, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, an honor to speak with you during Cowboys Week. Let's get excited.
You got it, man.
We're going to win on Sunday.
So you're there too.
Yeah. Look, I think, Joe, you started with this like Jekyll and Hyde idea, and I agree with that. Like, everybody has two alter egos. One is logical. Like me, Gary, I watch Eagles. I go in with reservations. I'm logical. And then Carson goes right down the field and scores a touchdown, and this G-man alter ego comes out, and I think we're going to win the Super Bowl. And I think we as fans always go through that. But John said earlier in the week, which I thought really was a great point, we have to have this level of acceptance with this team, and we have to manage expectations. And as fans, it's hard to do.
Oh, his phone just cut off.
Oh, that was a great call.
It was. You think he got zapped by the rain?
Must have. I mean, that rarely happens where it just goes away.
I mean, that dude was on a roll and then just
called himself G-Man. I like that.
Listen, you can call us back, man. That was a good call out of the gate.
Tempering your expectations for this team is important. Like, we have to reevaluate. What are we really expecting this team to do? You know, go up against bad teams and have a chance? Yeah, I mean, I think that's a reasonable expectation. That's where we sit right now. And it sounds to me like people are still hanging on to successes of the past, and everyone loves to just grab on to this. The Dallas Cowboys are the worst defense to ever take the field, and we're going to run all over them. Well, I haven't seen us run all over anybody. And I need to see it before I believe it.
Okay, let's go to Jeff, who's with us in Orland again, 215-592-9494. And if that last caller wants to call back, please do. It was good sounding call, just got zapped quick. Jeff in Orland, what's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff.
I think the last caller kind of hit it, just like you said, Joe, the Jekyll and Hyde thing. Yes, there is an overconfidence in the city. Yes, we should be taking this game more seriously. Let's not forget that this is a division game, and all division games, no matter what, are usually very close. The thing that I take from it that makes me more confident than I should, and it pains me to say it because I am an alum of University of Pittsburgh, Ben DiNucci actually backed up Nate Peterman in 2016. So that's not.
Yeah, I heard that. So even though we keep saying JMU, he's really a Pitt quarterback to transfer because he got beat out for a Pitt job. That's what I heard this week. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Which, yeah, you know, you do.
He did the Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and listen, that's a way to sometimes get to the pros because otherwise, you know, you don't get to play and you say, all right, I'm out of here. Let's go play somewhere where I can play. And you know, I respect that. I mean, that's an admirable path.
No, I'm not saying it's not admirable, but it's not speaking very highly of him if he's backing up Nate Bierman.
Well, just for whatever it's worth, Tom Brady couldn't secure this full-time starting job at Michigan. I mean, it does. Weird things do happen in college football sometimes. So
Ben DiNucci's Tom Brady? Is that what?
No, not what. But I mean, guys, think about how amazing that is. We're talking about the greatest player of all time who went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with Drew Henson when he was a college quarterback. I mean, it's weird, man. So anyway, all right, Jeff, we got you, man. All right, our caller Gary is back. Gary, go ahead, man.
Hey guys, I'm back. I don't know what happened. Well, Milli Vanilli, we'll blame it on the rain. I don't know what's going on here, but I was getting to the point of, John, do we care too much about how we win? Like, as a player, Doug always says a win is a win is a win. But like, I feel like if we win and it's ugly on Sunday night, which I think we will win, like Monday morning, are we still going to have this bad taste in our mouth, or should we not care about that?
Well, I had a pretty bad taste in my mouth after the Giants win. You know, it didn't feel satisfying. You know, it could have gone either way. I want this team to win decisively. I want them to look different and improved, and we keep getting the same stuff. There's not been any evolution from the coaching staff in the way they're calling these games out there. That's a real problem.
Well, also, I would say the fact that Doug struggles to articulate in press conferences how to unmuck the offense is concerning. Now, I personally believe it's related to his belief that Carson's a big problem and he just doesn't want to say that. I really believe that. But
yeah,
Carson is who he has. Whether he's a big problem or whether he's really good or somewhere in between, and everyone can make their determination, I would love to hear some semblance of a strategy. Not that, you know, we expect Doug to give away, you know, the whole game plan, but like some sense of how to unmuck the situation.
That's true, Joe. I think so. This is how I think of it, and it helps me process it. Like, when I, in 2008, during the financial crisis, I worked in New York, and,
yep,
and the guy I worked with asked a executive, hey, like, what should I do to succeed? And his answer was survive. And you sit there and you're like, no, I want to work hard. I want to move up. I want to do well. And his advice was survive. And I think about the Eagles that way. Like, we need to survive week to week, work on small improvements. I think that's how Doug thinks of it. And eventually we'll get some players back. And if you look at our record late in seasons, I think it's like indicative of why we peak late, because we don't have people on the field. But again, I think we're going to win Sunday. And I think we're going to build this momentum. But I like what John said earlier in the week. I think our expectations as fans need to be a little limited with this roster.
All right, Gary.
And we go back and forth.
We got
Thanks,
you, man.
Guys.
Appreciate the call. 215-592-9494. Again, is this a game to be taken for granted? I know a lot of people think the Eagles are going to win. Like, you think they're going to win. But is it a game to be taken for granted? Are the birds there that you can say, yep, I feel exceedingly confident. I feel extremely confident. I take it for granted. Is that where you are? 215-592-9494. By the way, we have a $25 gift card to Wawa to give away today. Fall is here, and Wawa has you covered with the coffee you crave. Now, any size coffee for $1 or fresh brewed iced coffee for $2, gotta have a Wawa. And of course, a happy birthday today to the great Richard Dreyfuss. Well, I shouldn't say of course. Most people probably don't know it's his birthday, but it is. Richard Dreyfuss turning 73 years old today. Obviously notable for many movies and a great actor. And we were talking before the show about Jaws, because of course that was early Richard Dreyfuss, right back in the 70s with Jaws. And, you know, he's in a group there, and, you know, the three of them heading out to, you know, on the boat, try to, you know, take down Jaws, the whole deal. And I was trying to figure out who's third. You know, is Richard Dreyfuss the third guy? You know, because, you know, the what's the main actor's name in the
Roy Scheider?
Yeah, like, he's he's the commander, right? He's running the show. And then I was saying to these guys, saying to John and James before the show, well, who's third? Is it Richard Dreyfuss, who's there earlier, or Quint, who they bring in? You know, the Robert Shaw character, who's like supposedly the shark expert. Who's the third guy, you know, so to speak? And then we got into this whole thing about, well, third, right? So let me ask this to John and James and everyone, opening up beyond the great movie of Jaws and those three. I'm curious if we can arrive today at the answer for who's the third guy in any number of scenarios in life. Sports teams, rock bands, real-life friendships, movie character trios. It can even be a movie group of five. But who's the third-ranking guy, so to speak? Like, John, for instance, when I think of who's third, an easy one would be Dennis Rodman. You got Jordan, you got Pippen, you got Rodman. That's an easy one for, I think, everyone to digest. Here's another one. I'll give you a classic third. George Harrison is absolutely third. Lennon and McCartney, 1-2, whatever order you want to put those two. Clearly, Lennon and McCartney, 1-2. Clearly, Ringo Starr is 4. George Harrison is like quintessential third man role.
He's my favorite.
Right?
I'm saying Harrison's my one, but yes.
Well, trust me.
I agree. I'm not arguing with you. I just love George Harrison.
All right. So, John, I'm curious from you and Jane. I want to get people thinking here at 215-592-9494. Who's the third guy? Like, John, when you think of a classic third guy, any walk of life.
Yeah.
By the way, I guess it can be a gal as well. I mean, guy, gal.
I'm going gal.
Okay. Like Phoebe in Friends would be third. I mean, Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston.
That gets confusing on Friends. Because I think you've got a couple thirds on Friends.
Well, sure. I mean, of course you do. I mean, because then you got the guys also.
This is complex.
It is complex. John, what do you got?
I've been seeing a lot of the Twilight saga at my house with a 13-year-old daughter.
Yep.
And I can never get over how short the stick end is for Jacob, like the one who's a werewolf. You know, like this is, you got the vampire, the young lady who's in love with the vampire, and then their, you know, her supposed best friend who happens to be a werewolf. He's always on the outside looking in. He's left out so much that when they try to loop him back into the whole plot, it's because he did this like wolf imprinting thing on the baby that the two main people had. It's 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah, I don't know, but so you're saying he's third.
Jacob Black in Twilight is third.
Look, 215-592-9494, for who's the third guy or gal? Seltzer, when you think of someone who's third, what do you got?
You guys won't appreciate this answer, but there are a lot of people listening who love Hamilton as much as I do. I'll even sing it for you.
Okay.
Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy, the Schuyler sisters. Peggy is the third Schuyler sister by far. Peggy Schuyler.
Please never sing it again. Let's just start with that.
I mean,
that.
It's better than your singing. Not better than Richie's, but better than yours.
I mean,
for
like,
sure.
James,
that was a great effort,
well,
though.
It was an effort.
I appreciate
effort.
That.
Well, it was a
poured
great...
his heart into it.
Yeah, you just go like, I'm going to sing it.
Yeah, you sing like William Shatner.
All right.
Donka Shane. That's a Joe DeCamera singing right there.
All right, 215-592-9494. Who's third? Get creative with the answer today. Look, it can be fictional, nonfiction, sports, not sports. A lot of ways to go here. Who's third? Hit us up, 215-592-9494. Who's the third guy? Let's go to Mad Mike, King of Prussia. Hey. What's up, Mike?
How you guys doing today?
I'm going to
start off with my third guy, just so I can kind of have runway to just freak out about the Eagles.
Sure.
So my third guy would be B.A. Baracus from the A-Team.
Boy, I got to think about that. So Hannibal is first.
But Face was second. It was... Face was the lieutenant, and Baracus was the muscle, and then it was just the crazy guy.
Probably so, correct. Yeah,
Murdoch
would be four. Murdoch's definitely four. I think you're
I
probably
had
right.
B.A. Baracus higher, though.
Than Face?
No, because...
Yeah,
was,
I didn't
Hannibal
like Face.
The, Hannibal was the leader, Face was the lieutenant. Like, then everybody, like, came after that.
We're going to have some fun today. We're going to be judge and jury today.
Yeah.
I like this.
I think you're probably right. But my personal, I don't know. I had a personal issue with Face. Just didn't seem like he brought enough substance to the table.
All right, Mike Eagles, what do you
got?
So I'm really annoyed that this team has no direction, like none. And you can, and that
I agree.
A player who has no ability anymore and should not be on the field is actually so selfish that he's willing to hurt the future of the franchise just so he can get on the field and play left tackle, where he's shown us he can't play anymore, still has the gravitas to just do whatever he wants. And the fact that we as a sports fan base are so dumb, like we're dumb because we're like, oh, we're 2-4-1, but we can win the NFC East and we might win a playoff game. I don't care. I do not care. This Eagles team is a rudderless ship at sea.
I agree.
We have no direction. Our salary cap is completely like whack next year.
Yep.
There's no plan, and we're chasing an NFC East title in the grand scheme of things that means nothing. Nothing. And I'm supposed to be okay with this. And I listen to people just call in like lemmings, like, oh, we can win the NFC East. Maybe we can win a playoff.
How does it mean nothing, Mike? How does it mean nothing?
It doesn't matter. In the long-term scheme, this means absolutely nothing. What's the future? Tell me what the plan is. I don't care. I've seen NFC East titles, and I don't care if we limp in, get with a 6-9-1 record, and win an NFC East title. That means nothing to me. I get nothing out of that.
Okay. I mean, Mike, I disagree with you. I mean, I mean, you're so entitled to your opinion. I feel it differently. Waking up for a playoff game to me matters.
To a playoff team where you're going to go in and you're going to get handled by a legitimate playoff team.
Second round, maybe. First round, not necessarily.
Mike, I agree with you in so many ways, and I think it's important. What he brings up about the Jason Peters thing, the dysfunction that this illustrates, like within that building, this is once again, there's stuff that's going on that we don't know about that's determining the guys who are actually taking the field for us. Like it's no longer the best man for the job. It's, in this case, well, it seems like they're just flat out afraid to stand up to Jason Peters. Like, I believe that.
And
it's convenient that your right tackle is hurt, and you can move Jordan Mailata to right tackle in place of Lane Johnson. I think what will be telling is if Jason Peters actually makes it to the point where Lane Johnson is back and healthy, and he's healthy, if they keep Jason Peters at left tackle instead of Jordan Mailata, who I'm telling you, Jordan Mailata is now better than Jason Peters.
I agree.
If they keep Peters there, it illustrates once again that there is a major problem where the front office is determining who takes the field, who takes the field on Sunday,
or the players determining it,
or in this case the players.
Right.
But listen, with Peters, I think it's the front office. It might even be above the front office.
Yeah,
you know, like they're saying, hey, Peters is back. He's going to play, regardless of whether he's better than the young guy who filled in for him or not. Like yesterday, that was a mess, and we have glossed over it thus far.
Okay, but I will tell you this, Sean. I have reexamined this situation, and I should have had my head on yesterday when I presented it the way I did. And I honestly didn't have my head on. As aggravated as I was initially yesterday hearing that Peters is getting reps at first team left tackle yesterday, when I examined the situation, I mean, because, you know, I was very hardcore about it yesterday, like, do not put him back there. But I think I see the point. And the point has to do with right tackle. And the point has to do with this. If Lane Johnson can't play, and if Jack Driscoll can't play with injury, who do you want to start at right tackle? And as far as I can tell, you really got four choices. You got Jason Peters, who's never played there and never practiced there. That would be Mailata at left tackle, Peters to right tackle. He's never played there. The next option is Jordan Mailata, who had played there earlier this year and trained there, you know, as a guy that was training for both tackle positions, developmentally trying to be both a backup left tackle and backup right tackle. All right, so he is trained there.
I agree with you. Okay. There's no question. Jordan Mailata is in the right spot right now.
For this week, and just to be clear, the third choice is Toth, okay, that I don't think any of us want to see him play. And the fourth choice, as far as I can tell, is Pryor. So, like, someone's got to play right tackle. And, yes, I agree, John. Jordan Mailata is a better left tackle than Jason Peters. But I can see the Eagles thinking that for the purpose of this week, if Lane Johnson's not back and if Driscoll's not back, that you can have a better chance to win the game with Peters playing his natural position and Mailata playing a position that he's trained at, right, instead of Mailata playing the position he's best at, but Peters playing a position he's never played at.
Right. Well, that's why I'm saying what will be critical for us to determine is when Lane Johnson's healthy, if they keep Jordan Mailata off the field.
I agree, but you
or
know what?
Or Jason Peters. Like, but that is a mistake.
John, I
and
agree.
That is the politics behind it all is affecting, like, whether they put guys on the field. That's just not the way it's supposed to work.
But
in the
it's
NFL.
Not where they are now, right? I mean, So it's one of those things, like, I said to James 15 minutes ago, if we do a poll of who should be the left tackle, right, and we give two choices, Mailata or Peters, it'll be literally 100-0. It should be Mailata, right? But if we do a poll, because people aren't thinking the next step, I wasn't yesterday. If we do a poll today, who should be the right tackle, and then give the four choices of Peters, Mailata, Toth, or Pryor, people might understand, the left tackle thing is based on the right tackle thing. Look, we'll figure it out. 215-592-9494. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. What a weird scenario it is, and that's, you know, unfortunately what you got to do when you got to coach with a lot of injured players and coach around it. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. Hey, if you never tried FanDuel Sportsbook before, here's something you won't want to miss out on. Right now, new users get an exclusive plus +2,500 odds boost on either team in this week's division rivalry, Philly or Dallas, to win the game. You heard that right. You can bet $5 for your chance to win $125. On either team to win. And certainly the prevailing sentiment around here has been a pretty heavy lean toward Philadelphia winning the game on Sunday night. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, incredible odds are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win with FanDuel Sportsbook, they'll get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Spectacular stuff from FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today using promo code HAMMER. Promo code HAMMER to claim your first deposit, to make your first deposit and claim exclusive plus +2,500 odds boost on either Philly or Dallas to win. Promo code HAMMER to get into the game with FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.